Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront was on the scene at the recent Women Superstars Luncheon during the Bronze Lens Film Festival, where we talked one-on-one with this year's honorees, Crystal Fox, Nima Barnett, and Nefertiti Nguvu. Regina Hicks, executive producer for HBO's Insecure, also chats about the series' overwhelming success and what it's like working with the show's star, Issa Rae. Upfront also hit the red carpet this week for the BMI R&B and Hip Hop Awards. It was an amazing night of music that included an all-star tribute to Patti LaBelle and featuring Avery Sunshine, BeBe Winans, Kiara Sheard, and more. We'll also be playing music from some of the artists who will be appearing at today's Taste of Soul Atlanta Festival. Philippia, DJ Kemet, and Latrice Bush will take to the stage this afternoon, and it's all being hosted by our very own Riva Blue. But first, here she is with this week's casting buzz and entertainment news.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is looking for a wounded warrior types for a scene in the upcoming film Heaven. The project is looking for male and female amputees to portray vets. The scenes will be shot between September 9th and 15th. If this is you, please submit to heaven@centralcasting.com with amputee in the subject line of the email. Central Casting is also looking for African American men with a light complexion for the new film Cherry Bloom. The men must have salt and pepper hair color with a waist size of 34 to 38 and height 5'11 to 6'2. If you fit the description, please submit your name, contact number, current size, and photo to cherryblue@centralcasting.com with photo DBL hashtag 2 in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, check out the trailer for TV One's new original drama, Bobby Christina. The film airs on Sunday, October 8th, at 7 p.m. Beginning immediately after the passing of her mother, the story delves into Bobby Christina's struggle to come to terms with Houston's sudden departure and the complexities of her own life. The film stars Vivica A. Fox as Pat Houston, Demetria McKinney as Whitney Houston, Hassan Johnson as Bobby Brown, and newcomer Joy Rovarez as Bobby Christina. Go to WCLK.com to watch the trailer. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Riva Blue.
Dorsey, a.k.a. Hollywood of Queen Sugar, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
The Bronze Lens Film Festival recently held its highly anticipated Women Superstars Luncheon at the Westin Peachtree Plaza. The annual summer event honors the achievements of women of color in front of and behind the lens. Here's what TV, film, and stage actress and honoree Crystal Fox had to say about being recognized by her peers for both her acting as well as her activism.
Well, Ms. Crystal Fox, congratulations on being honored this year at this year's Bronze Lens Film Festival during the Women Superstars Luncheon. What's going through your mind right now?
Overwhelming gratitude, and I feel like I am levitating with the love that I felt in the room. I was moved to tears, actually, because it's one thing to be recognized for your career, but to see it on screen, I saw how long, I know the sacrifices made for some of the things to do, to have that career, to have that on film, was a trip, but the thing that touched me most was the activism is so personal for me, and it's so new that I didn't expect for them to have footage of it. But they included that in what they were recognizing me for. And I have to say right this moment, I love that they're recognizing me for that more than they are for my acting. Because, wow, we need activism right now. That thing has torn me up, right? But I'm full. I'm just full.
Now, there were a lot of full circle moments because T.C. Carson presented the award to you, and then Queen Latifah was there. She was an honoree, but she was also there as well. So let's talk about that full circle moment.
Okay, so I didn't know that T.C. was going to be presenting until I got here today. And as they're walking me up to a room or something, they said, well, you know T.C.? I'm like, wait a minute, T.C.'s doing what? T.C. is my family. T.C. is my brother. Then I looked down, and he was at the red carpet, and he had on all white, you know. And then I had on white. I said, oh, my God, we are going to be a hot mess together. Then it dawned on me that Queen was also being recognized. It wasn't that it was the fact of how I met her. I met her because of going to the set of Living Single after I had gone to the audition with TC for that. So I went with TC to his audition. Then I went with him to set one day and met Queen there. Then I got an opportunity to do Mama Flora's Family with Queen. And between that relationship coming full circle, a lot of people had something to do with the people that I work with now or for, with the wonderful Miss Oprah Winfrey. It was just phenomenal. And I also was tripping a little bit when it dawned on me. I was like, wow, I've lived long enough to have all that information. Oh, God, I'm a veteran. But I hope I can live up to it. You know, I'm very proud of that. So proud.
How does it feel to be honored by your Atlanta community? Because so many times, you know, when you think of actresses and actors, they're honored by Hollywood or they're honored here in New York City. But this is something that's happening right here in your own backyard. So what was it like to be honored by your peers here in Atlanta?
Well, because it doesn't just feel like my peers. It feels like my family. Most of the people here, like Kathleen Bertrand, was around when I started. So when they say they honor you, now I have gone to other things and I know they love me, but when they put you in the room to honor you and stand you up there, you feel like, oh no, you think I'm the little girl that grew up. I'm that. It's humbling. And to do it at home when there were so many challenges to being an artist and staying in the South. Not that that was my intention, but I wanted it to work that way because I like the quality of life that I can have here. And so, yes, I will appreciate it wherever I'm honored, but it had a special meaning here. And for it to be the bronze lens, yes, I love diversity, but I love being appreciated at home and being a woman of color. Usually we have to, you know, say, oh my gosh, I love everything and da-da-da. I love everything. I'm a black woman who was honor for all my hard work in Atlanta, my hometown, by us. Oh my God, that was fabulous. It is fabulous. So I'm most proud, I think, of this award, if I am fortunate to even get another one. But this one means the world to me, and I'm glad it's amongst the first.
Emerging filmmaker and honoree Nefertiti Nguvu also talked about the magic of Bronze Lens and being recognized alongside icon superstar honoree and friend Queen Latifah.
Well, first of all, I cried. Like, I was literally, like, checking my email, and I just sat down, like, on my bed, and I just cried. I was, like, so moved by it. And then to read in the letter that Miss Kathleen sent me, it just kind of listed the other women who had been recognized at this luncheon, and I was just overwhelmed. It's just, like, to be thought of in that company. I love, you know, Bronze Lens so much, and they've just been so supportive, and that's what filmmakers like me need. Like, we need a community, and we need people that are pushing for us, that see the future of black film, and so I'm just moved beyond words.
What do you think is the magic of Bronze Lens? Because people keep coming back. We're in year 8 now. We're about to go into, since it's almost, once the weekend is over, we'll be going into year 9. So what do you think is the magic of the festival?
I think the magic of the festival is the love. Honestly, you know, Deirdre always says it. It's like a film festival put on by your aunties. And that is so true. It's like you feel that love. You feel that they care so deeply about the filmmakers, about the films, and they see the importance of having a film festival by black women, for black filmmakers, you know what I mean? And it's like that the work is the thing. And that is what I think separates Bronze Lens. It's like the love that they have for the work that they do and the importance that they see in terms of like creating a platform for black filmmakers and for black film.
Now, what was it like being honored at the same time as Queen Latifah, who you've had an opportunity to work with? What was that like?
That was incredible. She was my gig for Flavor Unit was my first paid gig as a director. Up until that point, I had been making my own films out of pocket. So that was my first time like, oh my God, someone wants to pay me to do this? This is like incredible. So to be honored today on the same stage with her is just like one of those full circle life moments. Like, okay, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going.
Legendary behind-the-scenes honoree Nima Barnett also opened up about being a trailblazer as a producer and director. She is currently working alongside Queen Sugar's Ava DuVernay and applauded the Oscar-nominated filmmaker for taking up the mantle as a next-generation storyteller.
I'm honored, I'm humbled, and I'm overwhelmed because The Bronze Lens has a very important voice. And I was here last year when I was producing director of season one of Queen Sugar, screening a couple of episodes that Ava directed, and I felt the love. And one of my best friends, Julie Dash, won this award, and I was there for her, and it was just great. So when they called me and said they want to honor me, I was shocked. But being honored by your own, to me, is the most important thing, because I make movies for my people. And I think that if it weren't for the love of my people, I wouldn't have made it. So, you know, it's a great thing to be here. It's a feeling of love and support, and Ava's trying to build an army, and she's building an army, and I'm very excited.
Now, what has it been like working with her? Because a lot of, you know, it's almost like she just kind of came out of nowhere, but she's really been behind the scenes for a number of years. Yeah.
She's been doing it for a long time, and she did, you know, several great independent films. And when she did Middle of Nowhere, she won the Sundance Award for Best Director. And then she got, Selma, which she did an extraordinary job. Ava is, to me, a young prophet. I remember looking on social media and seeing a picture of the entire cast of Selma wearing I Can't Breathe t-shirts. And I said, no, this diva can go, okay? She's red, black, and green. So when she called me to be her producing director on Queen Sugar, I was honored, you know, because when I came up, being the first black woman in history of television to ever direct a sitcom, What's Happening Now, first black woman to ever get a three-picture deal with a studio, I had no one to guide me who shared my journey as a black woman, you know. So it's very important to mentor, and that's what Ava does. Ava says, I stand because they stood. Giving credit to people like myself and Julie and Ioka and Uzan, who were there in the front lines. And I love her for that. And she's doing so many fabulous things. Now she's the first black woman to ever direct a $100 million movie, Wrinkle in Time. I mean, she's only 44 years old. Girlfriend is she's a serious gangster, you know. It's a joy working with her. She's fair. She's brilliant. She's strong. And she's determined. And you can't ask for more than that.
Support for WCLK programming comes from Marietta's new Theater in the Square, presenting Tennessee Williams, The Glass Menagerie, August 31st through October 1st. Amanda Wingfield lives in poverty in a St. Louis apartment with her son Tom and her daughter Laura. Tom is driven nearly to distraction by his mother's nagging and seeks escape in alcohol and the world of the movies. The show is directed by Emil Thomas. Ticket information is available at 770-426-4800. Or online at theaterinthesquare.net.
Hey Upfront listeners, you can now follow us on Instagram under Upfront the Show. We'll have exclusive photos, giveaways, and much more. That's Upfront the Show on Instagram.
Tran.
And you are listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
My next guest is the co-executive producer for HBO's breakout series, Insecure. It focuses on Issa Rae's awkward experience and racy tribulations as a modern-day African-American woman living in Los Angeles, and is loosely based on her hugely popular web series, The Misadventures of an Awkward Black Girl. In addition to producing, Hicks is also one of the show's writers and was responsible for the series' most recent episode that still has people talking. We caught up with Hicks to chat about the popularity of the show, working alongside Issa Rae, and her time as a producer on Girlfriends. Well, good morning, Regina Hicks, and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
Oh, fine. Thank you so much for having me.
No, this is all... Oh, my God. I'm so excited. This is such a pleasure having you on the show. I'm a huge fan of Insecure and definitely wanted to have you on to talk about this amazing series. We're in season two. It's been a great season so far, but let's go all the way back to the beginning. How did you get involved with this project?
The showrunner, Prentiss Penny, we worked together on Girlfriend. And so when this opportunity happened for him, he reached out to me, and so then I joined the show. Kind of like that.
Okay, okay. What has it been like working with Issa? Because we talked to her the first season, and I kind of knew what the show was going to be about. I knew that it was sort of a bigger spinoff or bigger take from her awkward Misadventures of an Awkward Black Girl. And then the show came out, and it was just like, oh, wow, this is amazing. And now we're in season two. So what has it been like working with her on this particular show?
Oh, she's amazing. I can't say enough good things about her. Just her vision and her creativity and her talent, all that is what makes Insecure. I mean, just working with her on a daily, I'm in awe of her. And she still has the ability to be awkward, even in the writer's room.
Yeah.
But she's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Now,
So she guides us because it's coming from her.
Right. Right. I was going to say, what is it like being in the writer's room? I was sitting here when we were preparing for this, just kind of reading some of the comments that were made over the last week from last week's show. But what is it like working in that writer's room? There are several African-American women that work on the show, correct?
Oh, yeah. It's one of the best writer's rooms I've ever worked in. If you ever followed me on Twitter or Instagram, I mean, there's so much stuff we do way beyond even the writing. I mean, anything from epic Nerf gun battles to chair races and empty sound stages to wine tasting to, escape rooms. I mean, there's so much that we do even away from the writer's room that then informs what we do in the writer's room. But we're all, really good friends. We're together every Sunday, live tweeting. Even when we were done with the season, we were still having these Sunday brunches. I mean, we love each other too much.
Yeah, yeah. Did you all know that the show was going to be such a huge success?
Yes. we hoped that it would be.
Yeah.
We hoped that it would be.
Yeah.
We really put a lot, into it, and we always hope for a good return. So,
right.
If we got that, above and above. It's like the fans are amazing, the people who support the show. I mean, it's fun when we tweet with people, just people's comments, and how they laugh at the different lines and their opinions. And their, it's great. It's great. It's great to see so much love for it.
You are the writer of last week's episode that had this explosive ending, I'll say, for lack of better words. What was going through your mind when you were putting that show together?
Well, first off, I was a co-writer with Ben Corey Jones. So, and we put all shows are, put together as the writing staff. We all weigh in. So it's not like we're off in a corner. All the episodes come from a collective mind. And then, you're off to write it. So I would say it's a little bit of, everybody in every show.
Let me ask you, what's next for the rest of the season? Because so far it's been, it's one of those things where a lot of times I DVR programs because I'm so busy during the week. But this is a show that I watch in real time. So a lot of us
are
you do.
Twitter friends will ruin it for you.
Exactly. And believe me, there are folks on social media who say, who tell their friends, if you talk about what has happened on Insecure, I will delete you. So,
right.
So you have to watch it, in real time. But what's next, if you can, what's next for the rest of the season?
Really good thing. I don't want to, spoil it.
Right, right.
We have two episodes left, and they are amazing and not to miss.
Right. And the show has been picked up for a third season, so that's really correct. Yeah, that's really commendable.
We're happy about that.
Now, you also worked on another show that was centered around, you know, women, girlfriends. To be able to have worked on that show and to now sort of have, you know, work on Insecure, which is sort of like a new millennial version of Girlfriends. Do you see it as such? Do you see the parallel there?
It's two very different shows. I mean, obviously the comparisons are different. They're in Los Angeles, but I just see tonally so different. But yeah, the commonality is Girlfriends, and they live here.
Right. And what was that like working on the show at that time? Because that was really, I think, probably before that, the only other show that we had seen African American women together like that was Living Single.
Right. No, it was great. I felt like on Girlfriends, we did show, it was four very different women. And I think we touched on issues even on that show that I hadn't seen before. It wasn't just, you know, laugh, comedy. I thought we did some really heartwarming episodes. I mean, we did everything from chlamydia, fibroids, to, you know, raising a young black man in Los Angeles. You know, we tried to be very topical at the time and thought-provoking because we really wanted water cooler moments, and I think we got a lot of them during that show.
All right. Well, Regina Hicks, thank you so very much. I know that you're very, very busy, so we appreciate you taking time out to talk to Upfront, and we'll be watching Insecure tomorrow night, Sunday at 10:30 on HBO, and looking forward to it. We thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. You're the reason why I'm feeling this way. I'm overwhelmed and you're the one to blame.
This is Jasmine Guy, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the Taste of Soul Atlanta Festival on Saturday, September 2nd from 11 a.m. until 9 p.m. This year's festival includes two stages with performances by Frenchie Davis, Rico Barino, Felipia, and more. There will also be soul infusion foods, arts and crafts, and a kids zone. The Taste of Soul Atlanta Festival takes place on Northside Drive in MLK. More information is available at tasteofsoulatlanta.com.
You touch me, I hear the sound of mandolins. You kiss me. With your kiss, my life begins. Your spring to me, all things to me. Don't you know your life itself?
Cassie Davis here. You're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius. Take it away, Ray!
That was the voice of the one and only Miss Patti LaBelle performing the classic tune Wild is the Wind. The Grammy-winning diva was honored Thursday night as part of BMI's R&B and Hip Hop Awards. The event was held at the Woodruff Arts Center's Symphony Hall and saluted the songwriters, producers, and publishers of the year's 35 most performed R&B hip hop songs in the U.S. Miss Patti's tribute featured a list of who's who performers, including gospel icon B.B. Winans, R&B music vocalist Avery Sunshine, and gospel music stars Tasha Cobbs Leonard and Kiara Sheard. Upfront caught up with all of them to chat about their performances, current projects, and much more.
So we are talking to the one and only Miss Lady, Miss Avery Sunshine. You're performing tonight for the incomparable Miss Patti LaBelle.
I mean, you've been with me this whole journey, right? And you know about where I'm from, you know all that. But I was telling someone, I used to sing her song. I would take my mother's curling irons and go into my mother's beauty salon and turn the radio up, be WDAS FM in Philly. When Patty would come on, I'd be singing along, and I'd be singing this song, the one that I'm singing tonight. So to have the opportunity to do this in real life, and my mother witness it, my husband, my daughter, it is an indescribable feeling. Again, you know my story. You know we're independent, real independent. So to be acknowledged, to even be invited, you know what I mean? But to honor her, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And I'm so glad we were here to be.
And to be able to do it right here in Atlanta.
In Atlanta. Get in the car and come up the street. Get back in the car and go to bed and be home.
So I have to ask you, you have an amazing new project with Will Downing as well as Boney James. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. Again, these opportunities happened. And Will Downing? I was listening to Will Downing. I mean, when you had to buy tapes from Tower Records. Do you hear me? Boney James. Look, so I did the song with Boney James, right? I told Mom, Mom, I got a song with Boney. Oh, that's my boy. You all right, but that's my boy. You all right. So as you know, it's exciting for me and my whole family, especially my mom.
I hear there's a tour coming up, too.
There's a tour, a Christmas tour with Will that I'm so honored to be a part of. And I'm looking forward to it. We'll be here in Atlanta, and I'm looking forward to it.
Past BMI honoree B.B. Winans remained very tight-lipped about his performance for Miss Patti LaBelle. However, he did talk about his new musical, Born for This, The B.B. Winans Story, finally going to Broadway. We are talking to the legendary gospel singer-songwriter and now playwright, Mr. B.B. Winans. So I got to ask you, how is the show going? Because you guys actually started here last year in Atlanta. So where is Born for This right now?
We started here, then we went to D.C. We just left Los Angeles, and we're on our way to Broadway. Yeah.
So they're hearing this here first on Upfront.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, it's been an exciting journey, and it's been a humbling journey, too. I've been humbled by everything that's happening with this musical and excited to tell the world our story. Some people know our music, but they don't know our story. So it's been a brave thing to do, too, because part of my story ain't nice, you know, but that's all of our stories, you know, and not ashamed to share that. And at the same time, it has been a very maturing of my faith of what God has promised and what he can do.
Now, will the show feature Juan and Deborah Joy?
Well, up to this point, it has. But Deborah Joy, as you know, she's in her third season of Greenleaf. And we are very pleased because we helped launch that, right? So she's like trying to keep us caged. She's like, honey, you're working. That's your day job. So I don't know if you see her, but who knows? Who knows?
Award-winning vocalist, reality star, and entrepreneur Kiara Sheard was tapped to perform Miss Patti's gospel-inspired song, When You've Been Blessed. Here's what she had to say about singing for such an iconic performer. We're talking to the beautiful Kiara Sheard. How are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
So you're performing as part of the tribute to Miss Patti LaBelle. Can you kind of give us a hint of what you're going to be performing tonight?
Sure. I'm singing When You've Been Blessed by Miss Patti LaBelle, and I'm super nervous, but I'm super excited and looking forward to it. And I'm going to be accompanied on the stage with a special guest. You'll know when you see her. I guess I can keep that a secret.
So when you were told that you basically have been selected or they wanted you to come and do this, what went through your mind?
My jaw dropped for sure. I'm nervous. I'm trying to not say that I'm nervous so that I won't make the feeling worse. But I know God is with me, and I can't believe it because she is Patti LaBelle. You have Patti LaBelle, you have Diana Ross, you have Aretha Franklin, and so on. And so to sing in front of one of them, it's like, oh, okay. You know, so I'm really looking forward to it. I'm just blessed to have the opportunity.
And what's next for you?
What's next for me? I'm working on my new music. I've been in the studio with Harmony Samuels, Serta Baptist, and hopefully you'll get something with Richard Smallwood and a couple of others. I'm working with my brother, of course, J. Drew Sheard, and so on. So I'm working hard.
Atlanta's own Tasha Cobbs Leonard also talked to us about being a part of the tribute. She also spoke candidly about her new single with hip-hop diva Nicki Minaj and the criticism she's received from her fans. So we're talking to the beautiful Miss Tasha Cobbs Leonard. How are you tonight?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. So
you are a part of tonight's tribute to Miss Patti LaBelle. Yes. When they asked you to come and do it, what went through your mind?
Nerves. Just nervous. Like, anybody that's singing for Patti, you're going to get nervous. But it's such an honor. Such an absolute honor, yeah. Now so I'm excited about it.
Now you're going to be performing what song now?
You Are My Friends. Yeah. So we're going to see how that works out. Me and Kiara got something special tonight.
Now let me ask you, outside of performing that song, what is one of your personal favorite songs of Miss Patti LaBelle?
It would literally be that, and I would say You Are My Friend. Let me tell you why. Because the story behind that, the story of she and her sisters, the bond that they had. Of course, she lost her sisters. And when she sings it, you can feel the passion from that relationship coming through. So I would say that. I'm all about soul singing. Yeah.
Now, you released a new single with Miss Nicki Minaj, and there was some, you know, some folks that kind of felt some type of way about that. But what is your response to those that were feeling that way?
Well, first let me say that there are more who are for us than who are against us. And every time there's a change, a shift, or a revolution that's happening, people are going to, they like to be comfortable. And sometimes when things make you uncomfortable, you'll fight against it. But with every change, I believe it's always working for us. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the comments that I receive of people's lives who have been changed just by listening to the song. I mean, we have people who were atheists who bought the single because now I believe in God. You know what I'm saying? So that blesses me. I'm excited about it. Yeah.
Check out WCLK.com for photos from that BMI R&B Hip Hop Awards, red carpet, and more. Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'd really like to thank all of my special guests, Crystal Fox, Nima Barnett, Nefertiti Nguvu, Regina Hicks, as well as Avery Sunshine, BB Winans, Tasha Cobbs-Leonard, and Kiara Sheard. I would also like to thank my engineer, Mark Angel, and you. Please join us next Saturday, September 9th at 9 a.m. for another exciting edition of Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.